8,500 people worldwide, the PC Business Unit is a fast-paced, high-energy work environment. In just 2 short years, the PC Business Unit has positioned itself among the leaders in the personal computing industry, and more than a few are beginning to take notice. Already 11th in the worldwide shipping rankings, the PC Business Unit has a product portfolio which includes competitive desktop, server, and mobile product lines for all segments of the PC marketplace. Employee dedication is the heart of this success. With a fervent commitment to advertising and public relations, the PC Business Unit has achieved a heightened awareness among industry opinion leaders and expanded the base of potential PC buyers. With innovation, energy, and dedication, the PC Business Unit is a dynamic addition to Digital Equipment Corporation.
Thank you. My name is Bernhard Auer, and I'm very honored and we are very pleased that this quarter's Employee Forum DVN is originating from here in Acton, Massachusetts, the location of the PC Business Unit's worldwide headquarters. As you saw in the video, we are a fast-paced crowd, and we have to be, since our industry is a very fast-paced industry. And digital success is clearly not just happening. It did not fall from the sky. It is the result of hard work, dedicated work, energetic work of all our people, and it is teamwork. Now, on behalf of all employees worldwide, I would like to welcome our President and CEO, Bob Palmer.
Thank you, Bernhard, and thank you for allowing me to host the Employee DVN from the PCBU headquarters here. Possibly when we have some word slides, I may actually read the slides so that those at the back can see what's on them. This first slide, though, just talks about a question. It was in the local newspaper here, the Boston Globe, and it said, "Is digital back?" And there are a number of articles in the local newspapers about our quarterly performance. So today I'm going to explore an answer to that question, and probably from about four perspectives. First, from the financial perspective, of course. Talk a little about our products and services, talk about our business strategies very briefly and where we are in that, and talk a little bit about customer and employee satisfaction. Well, for the financials, you probably read by now that we had a very strong quarter. And that added to the proof points that we're on the right path to returning the company to a competitive level of profitability and growth. Our net income was $74 million, or 44 cents per common share. You think about it, that's $257 million better than the same quarter just 1 year ago. The total operating revenues were up some 6% to $3.5 billion from $3.3 billion in the corresponding quarter a year ago. Our product revenues were up 12%, fourth consecutive quarter of year-over-year product revenue growth. This chart, you see it from time to time, it refers to on a quarter-by-quarter, year-over-year basis. And you can see that starting in FY94, we begin to see a resurgence in our product growth by a segment, and we saw that our services growth also began to recover from a long decline. New services, like our multi-vendor customer services, were growing fast enough in the last quarter to offset those declines. So we've seen strong growth in our product orders for the fifth consecutive quarter on a year-over-year basis, and we've been continuing to work on the operating expenses. Our operating expenses were approximately $1 billion during the quarter, which is down 19% from the $1.3 billion that we had the previous year, same quarter. And perhaps most importantly, or at least among the most important, certainly, was that for the first time in five quarters, we generated positive cash from operations, $323 million. It's been a long time since we were able to generate cash from operations. We were able to stabilize our gross margins at just over 32% after a continuous decline in gross margin for almost unrelenting, really, for the last 6 years. So that's a major accomplishment, was stabilizing the gross margins. And this particular quarter, Q4, of course, we're working very hard to not only stabilize margins, but to increase them. And after all that, the balance sheet continued to strengthen. We ended the quarter with $1.47 billion on hand in cash, which is $333 million, or a third of $1 billion more cash than we had at the end of the previous quarter. So the company's very healthy from a balance sheet perspective. We returned to profitability for the second consecutive quarter. We've had growth in our products and services. You know, if you think about on the product side, if you adjust for the fact that we've sold some of our businesses, the actual growth would have been on the order of 20%, actually a little over 20% on a year-over-year basis. I thought it might be good to cover what some of the media and analysts were saying about the quarter. And so I've got some quotes here, which I'll read for those in the back. It says, first one says, further evidence that the computer maker's turnaround is well underway. This was in the Wall Street Journal on April 20th after our announcement. Another says, analysts expect profits to continue. Certainly we expect that. I know you're working hard to make sure that's the case. And that was from the New York Times. Another one was that they're in a position to say with some pride that they have weathered the worst of a terrible storm. It certainly has been difficult, and that's being recognized by Tom Wilmot of the Aberdeen Group, which is an industry focus group. Another from Jim Johnson at Standish Group is saying the patient is a lot healthier than 6 months ago. Tremendous amount of improvement in just the last 9 months or so since we started on our new business model. Another one from Steve Milinovich, who's an excellent analyst at Morgan Stanley, who he's been following us for, I've forgotten how many years, but it's the first time he said anything positive about us. He's been very negative on the company. He said they've certainly come a long way in the last 12 months, and he says he's beginning to change his perception of digital's future. And George Elling, who's also at Merrill Lynch, been negative on the company, is saying when people are shopping for a turnaround story, digital is a name that comes to mind. You may have also seen in the latest Business Week, it said that the turnaround story for the third quarter, Digital Equipment Corporation. So we're getting a lot of recognition from analysts and from shareholders, from people that follow the company. Perhaps one real measure of that recognition, where people vote with their money, is to look at what we've added in terms of market capitalization to the company since just last June, July. You know, the stock hit a low of $18.25, which when you multiply by the number of shares we have outstanding, reduces our market capitalization to under $3 billion. We've added about $4 billion worth of market value to the company, which closed yesterday at 46. And if you look at that times the number of shares, about $4 billion of market value from all the hard work of our employees worldwide. And beginning to persuade the analysts and the financial community that this company is returning to a profitable, growing environment. So that's kind of the financials. We're getting back on track in most of them. Now, there's a few with room for improvement. I may talk about that. I may not today. But we're working on them. What about products and services? Well, as you saw in the graph, the demand for the products and services is coming from a trough and beginning to improve rather dramatically. This company is exceptionally well-positioned. We're well-positioned as fundamentally a two-platform company, or two architectures here that complement each other. The Intel architecture, which has won almost all of the desktops, as you know, worldwide, and is what our PCBU is all about, all the way from the mobile and portable computing to department-level dual and quad processor servers. That's the Intel architecture, and Digital has a complete line and a leadership line of such products. And then the Alpha architecture, which is the highest performance architecture in the industry and has been since we introduced it. So it's two architectures, very complementary. Since I'm here at the PCBU headquarters, I think I'll start by talking a little about the accomplishments of this unit. During the third quarter, the PCBU introduced 10 new Pentium-based models in the Celebrus family, and 8 new Pentium-based models in the Starion consumer desktop line. The Venturis line, which is the highest volume desktop line in the PC business unit, has had a record-setting development time of only 22 weeks by the engineering team, and the benchmark in the industry is about 28 weeks. We had very early market acceptance. We've shipped more than 100,000 units in the first 3 months. And on stage up here, among other products, is the newest model of our Venturis line, which is announced on May the 1st. The PCBU accomplished a very difficult challenge during the quarter, which was to achieve profitability. This is profitability on a fully loaded basis, so all the accounting things are clean. The PCBU achieved profit if you count all of the puts and takes and allocations and that sort of thing. And that surprised me, really. Going into the end of the quarter, I thought we were going to miss. So, Bernard, you guys did an excellent job, the whole team worldwide, in pulling that out and achieving that profitability. And it's a major accomplishment. We really ought to feel good about it, and I'm glad you do, because there are many people in this Darwinian marketplace in PCs that have been in the business in a professional way much longer than we have that did not make a profit in the last quarter. And several come to mind, but I won't dwell on it. But we're doing well and we're improving. Now, talk about the Alpha platform accomplishments. Our Alpha platform revenues were up over 66% on a year-over-year basis and continue to grow like crazy. On April 11th, we announced that we'd shipped our 100,000th Alpha system. If you add up the revenue on products and services from Alpha-based systems since we introduced the product, we've now shipped more than $3 billion worth of revenue. If you expect to continue, which we do, along the lines that we're forecasting, we should have shipped more than $4.5 billion worth of Alpha products and services before our larger competitors ship even their first 64-bit systems. So we are way out in front in the transition from 32-bit computing to 64-bit computing in the Alpha class machines. If you think about across the entire product line, our products and services today are stronger than they've ever been. We've been recognized externally for these achievements. And we're going to see a series of slides here talking about some awards that we received. We took 6 out of 10 of what are called the AIM Technology Hot Iron Awards for price performance in servers, workstations, and PC products. Won 6 out of 10, and this is all competitors. All of the competitors in the industry, Digital wins 60% of the awards. The Alpha Server 2100 was named the best server by the readers and editors of Datamation magazine. Service News, another magazine, gave its prestigious Innovations in Service Award, it's called, to Digital for its PC utility product, which is our complete customer desktop personal service around managing personal computers. And we've started receiving all kinds of accolades and recognition for our newest products, which were the TurboLaser products that we announced on April 11th. We're going to show you some very brief video that occurred during the show of that announcement, but you won't get the full impact of it, I can assure you, as you would sitting there.
Today, Digital unleashes the superpower in enterprise servers. The Alpha Server 8400.
This was really quite an outstanding introduction. It was a lot of lasers and sound effects and all that that you got some flavor of. It was a very different product announcement from Digital Equipment. And somebody had noted in something I read afterward that anybody that was at the announcement can no longer say that Digital doesn't know how to market. And we got a lot of attention there. I talked about this a little bit at my last DVN. I talked about coming forward with finally an application, a commercial application that was really significant, that really for the first time exploited the capability of 64-bit addressing. And that's what this particular announcement was all about with our partner, Oracle. So Oracle had developed a very large memory database that takes advantage of 64-bit addressing, and we, of course, have developed a 64-bit digital Unix and a 64-bit Alpha platform for it to run on. Nobody else has this product and not likely to have it for at least a year, maybe longer. A very large memory capability allows you to do things like data warehousing and transaction processing at really orders of magnitude faster and at much less expense than is ever before possible or is possible from any competing systems. So this partnership between Oracle and digital and using very large memory is going to create new markets really for us and create a lot of excitement, and has already. And I'll share with you a little bit what some of the analysts are saying about the new turbo laser announcement. From Terry Shannon at Illuminata, he says, this is the crown jewel in the Alpha program. Barry Willman, who's a very knowledgeable analyst at Goldman Sachs, says, this presents a very competitive product to the marketplace. Another quote is, this is going to be a major turning point, talking about the turning point not only at digital, but also in the industry. Another says, this is way beyond the mainframe. And on a performance basis, on those applications that are database intensive, this provides much greater performance than a mainframe at much lower cost. And there's a quote from Larry Ellison, who is the chief executive officer of Oracle and participated in the announcement. He says, these machines are extraordinarily fast. It's the biggest change in terms of performance that we have ever seen, speaking of Oracle. We think they're going to usher in a fundamental change in the industry. I'll give you a quick look at a couple of clips from that announcement. And first, I think, is Pauline Nest, and then we'll see Larry Ellison.
Our 32-bit database query should be done by now. The database query we just ran is an example of the kind of analysis that an insurance company might do to develop a new product. Let's say that the company wants to evaluate a new homeowner's policy. How many households would be prospects for the product? Can we make money selling it? We have here a database of 12.5 million names from all over the country, which we queried based on four criteria: age, household size, geographic location, and whether their home was built within the last 2 years. The result of the search on each of the criteria is displayed on the screen using SAS. Out of the 12 billion names, we found over 2,000 that fit the criteria. With 32-bit processing, the query took 11 minutes and 57 seconds. Now, let's put the power of 64 bits to work. We'll run the exact same query, only this time entirely in memory. I'll start the search. There, now we'll see how long this one takes. As I was saying before we stopped, the Alpha servers give you the most power you can get for your money, putting a whole new class of power in your reach. You can imagine the kind of competitive advantage it can help you achieve. It's done already? That was just 17 seconds versus almost 12 minutes with 32-bit addressing? That's what, a 50 times performance improvement? Directly attributed to caching more data in memory.
That's just one example, and there are many, many others that are really too numerous to go through all of them today in this talk. We also have a clip how Larry Ellison kind of summarized the turbo laser benefits.
Now, by going to 64-bit architectures, we outperform mainframes by going to groups of machines or clusters managing a single database. We're also more reliable than mainframes for the first time. This is a huge change for the industry. Now, someone said, well, wait a second. Does this mean I have to buy a couple of machines to replace my mainframe? I know these things are inexpensive, but my God, now I have to buy at least two of them to get the same kind of reliability or better reliability than mainframe? Well, don't worry. Two of these fridges cost, I mean, and these are expensive refrigerators. This is $1 million a piece. But that compares pretty favorably with your $20 million price tag on a mainframe. So buy two. Or three. Use them in a cluster to access your database. Not only do you get still better performance, you get a system with no single point of failure. And it still costs you dramatically less than the price of a mainframe computer. So all of a sudden, with the digital's announcement today, you get machines that are not only easier to program than mainframes, that are not only cheaper to buy than mainframes, they're also faster, dramatically faster, and much more reliable.
This had a tremendous impact on the audience because Larry obviously doesn't work for Digital, or maybe it wasn't obvious, but Larry works for Oracle, and yet he's talking about his product running on our platform. In fact, he said a number of things during the presentation that when he first saw the numbers, he thought a mistake had been made. He went down to the labs himself to really see how the tests were run. He also stated at the end of the presentation, which was very impactful to the audience, which was sold out in a standing room only audience in New York City, that he planned to move all of Oracle's financial information, their the way they run their entire worldwide business, and move all of the decision support, database activity, all of that to TurboLasers. And he asked me if he could get a good discount, and I told him that after today, it's better. You know, so there's no question. If he came to New York to support our product, I'm sure the discount went up. But, you know, thinking about what he was saying, it's not just a mainframe alternative. I think one of the most important things is that when you're talking about $20 million machines with a very high cost of ownership on an annual basis, clearly only a few companies can afford that kind of investment to do data warehousing and to do the kinds of applications that we're talking about here. When you're talking about $1 million, $2 million, now you've opened that market up dramatically to a different class of company, a much smaller company that can begin to take advantage of these very sophisticated techniques for market segmentation and decision support. So it's creating an entirely new market and makes available to a different class of company that capability that previously was only available to those companies that have the really fat IT budgets. And for those companies, it gives them an opportunity on database applications to greatly reduce their investment. I spoke with a customer at this particular show who had never bought from Digital Equipment. And they had been, in fact, totally an IBM shop. They were a big healthcare company. They're planning to completely redeploy their information technology systems to client server. And prior to this announcement, the chief information officer told me they were planning to go with Hewlett-Packard. But once they saw what the TurboLaser could do and they got a couple of early machines to test, they made a decision to go totally with Digital. And they bought several such machines just for the initial phase of the rollout. This is a kind of opportunity we have for the next year, 18 months. We won't have a competitor in this application, and we intend to make the most of that. Now, talking about strategies, so shifting a little bit away from products and services, when we made this tremendous reorganization of the company last July and announced the elimination of our big functions and the matrices that went along with that, and we talked about organizing by specific business unit, each business unit and the leader of that business unit had the opportunity to develop a business model appropriate to the business, like you have in PCs, a strategy appropriate to the business, again, like the PC business unit has developed and is executing. And these strategies are complementary to each other in the business units. And sometimes there's some rough edges where there's some minor conflicts. The strategy for each business unit is the responsibility of that business unit. The strategy for the corporation overall clearly is my responsibility and my direct reports, the division vice presidents and the support people of the president's office, you might say. We have to see that the strategy for Digital Equipment Corporation is really more than just the sum of the individual strategies. That is, if you think about it from the customer's perspective, which is the best way to think about things, we bring more than just a collection of activities by business unit. We bring a complete portfolio of capabilities, of services, of software, of products, of support that very few of our competitors can bring on a worldwide basis. And our strategy, looking forward, has to build on that. Now, what we've been doing for the last several months, really we've been doing for the last 2 years, but it's getting much more focused, is trying to assess, okay, what are Digital's clear technical capabilities? What are our product capabilities, our service skills, our software skills? What's in our portfolio, you might say? Then looking forward in the industry, the next 4 or 5 years, we're not going to go into the next century and all of that. We're not talking about blue sky here. We're talking about close in and practical. What's happening in the information technology industry, and how is that likely to provide opportunities to this company? Now, which of those opportunities do we most want to go after? And that's an activity that's going on and has, as I said, been going on for some time, but more focused lately. involves technical people and business people from throughout the company. A large number of people in a very structured process. It's being assisted by Bain & Company, which is a consulting firm. And the issue there is to work on a strategy that makes sense for the entire corporation, takes advantage of our capabilities. And as that gets further refined, we'll be talking about that in subsequent DVNs and other communication vehicles. But you can be sure that it builds primarily on our strength around distributed client-server networking. Certainly that's changing as we move to wireless networks and mobile computing and that, and it looks to where can we add value there, take advantage of that. It looks to on the software side, what software should we provide to enable customers to really deploy and successfully manage distributed computing networks and client-server three-tier architectures. Now, if you talk about each of the business units and coming back to their strategies, I just wanted to hit a few highlights that were achieved during the quarter. And let me say at the outset so that nobody's offended, I hope, this is a relatively short talk. So you can't cover all of the people in digital and all of the contributions. This is a rather broad brush that I'm going to be using this morning. But I'll start with CSD. The progress that CSD has accomplished is just outstanding. Really unprecedented in my experience in terms of reducing the expenses and implementing an entirely new business model, the SBU and the ABU on the fly, and moving well on their way to achieving a very aggressive goal, which was to achieve a profitable business in the computer systems division as we exit the fiscal year for the systems business unit. How are we going to do that? We started last year with huge losses, and in 1 year's time, to achieve a break-even run rate in the SBU and the ABU. And we're making tremendous progress on it, and a large part of that $257 million improvement that I talked about was because of that success. I already mentioned the success of the PCBU. I didn't mention, but it's been published, of course, that you grew again 60% year over year on a quarterly basis. It's about three times the growth rate of the market. And our products are continuing to receive rave reviews, particularly the notebook products. And the fact that you're able to refresh all of the products continuously, as you see up here, and I see some new products that I just was exposed to this week that we're not announcing today, but really incredibly exciting products. And I'm very proud of what you've been able to accomplish here. If you look at storage, our storage group exceeded their plan in both revenues and profits, and they're growing at about four times the market rate. Network products, again, was also above plan in terms of revenues and profits. And you see network products are beginning to get recognized again by the external media, our public relations. Digital had been out of view, really, for some years. Now we're beginning to get recognition for the fact that we're the only vendor of any size that has competitive products in all three areas of network products, you know, in the switches, in routers, and in hubs. And we're getting a very positive response to the fact that our intelligent network products that are combining all of the functionality of those three formerly discrete capabilities into single products or leadership products with the highest performance. We've also got a new architecture that's being rolled out right now in network products called the Envision architecture, and it's getting accolades as well. Multi-vendor customer services continued to be the strongest business unit in terms of both profits and cash flow. That business unit represents about 28% of the revenues of the company and is the strongest contributor by far in terms of profitability. And the challenge for us is to continue to grow the profitability of all the other business units as multi-vendor services looks for new services to grow their business to offset the decline in traditional maintenance services, which are not as required to the same extent that they once were because of the greater reliability of our products as we go forward. Digital Semiconductor was also above plan with a large sequential improvement in their margins, and they executed a number of important strategies to keep us on the absolute leadership in terms of price performance. You may have seen some stuff in the news about various competitors announcing that next year they're going to have a chip or two chips that are more powerful than Alpha. Of course, they're talking about something they're going to have a year from now if they're lucky. They haven't even shipped these products from design yet. But a year from now, if they're lucky, against products that Digital is shipping today in systems. By the time they have those products a year from now in the chip form, we'll be shipping even higher performance, integrated circuits and systems based on them. I'm very comfortable we'll be able to stay ahead in terms of performance and price performance on our Alpha products. Our advanced technology group continued to have wins in the interactive video space. You may have seen that we won a rather large multi-year contract with Ameritech to provide their platform for video on demand and interactive services there. It's about $40 million, a very large contract. And we've won more than half of all of the contracts that have been let on that type of product, on video on demand products, on a worldwide basis, more than half. Oracle's won about half of the remainder, so between the two companies, we're winning almost all of the competitions. So these are really excellent accomplishments. If you think about, those are by business units and products. If you think about by geography, every geography met their objectives, and in many cases, most cases, while they were undergoing significant restructurings of the business and dealing with all the local issues and local laws that in some cases make it very difficult to restructure operations, even in the face of all of that, they achieve the objectives on a geographic basis. Now, the issue about business units and geographies, I should mention, is, again, we have to maintain a balance. We do business in local countries according to local customs and laws. We run the company by business unit, and we look at our customers on a global basis. And you have to keep these things in balance. It's not all one or all the other. We have made a lot of progress, and you've got to feel very good about the progress that you have made and will continue to make. We've talked about strategies for the corporation. I think one of the important things that's going to be happening on May the 8th at DECUS is we'll be talking to our primarily VMS customers, which are the people that usually show up at DECUS primarily, about more detail on the software strategy around operating systems. We're making it a lot clearer what we suggest as a migration path for those that want to migrate, or tools and methods that enable them to hang on to legacy applications on VMS, new opportunities for VMS, and new capabilities for VMS that we're adding and engineering into it, as well as how VMS will interoperate with Unix more effectively and how it'll be essentially seamless with Windows NT. We'll be talking in great detail about that part of our software strategy on May the 8th, so that's a big piece of the strategy. And more of that will roll out. Strategy is very complex. It's a dynamic thing. It's not one of these things you finish and then that's it. Constantly changing because the environment that you're competing in is changing, and so you keep working on refining that. Finally, I want to talk about our customer and employee satisfaction. Now, we made a lot of progress in terms of the financial and strategic turnaround of the company. We're not a turned-around enterprise. I'm not saying that we have turned around, but we've had some proof points of two consecutive quarters of profit and increasing profit at that, that say, gee, we're on the right track, we're doing the right things to return the company to a competitive level of profitability. But you never really get there unless your customer satisfaction is among the leaders and the employee satisfaction is among the leaders. Now, we're behind in both of those areas, and that shouldn't be any surprise. With all of the transition that we've had to go through the last few years, it's not a surprise that the morale in the company is not where we want it to be, but it's clearly improving. You know, we did this worldwide survey on employee input and employee morale. We have that data, and my challenge to the business units and the geographies is to use that data to address the most pressing employee concerns. You may have some questions about that later. I'll just talk about the issue is, this is a multi-year program. We've got to work on it together to increase the environment for employees so that it's a fun place, a lot of positives, and we enjoy coming to work and contributing. And you have an environment where you can grow personally as much as you're capable of growing and can contribute. You certainly have had that in the PCBU here. We've had it in other pockets throughout the company, but it's not uniform. And so the objective is to get all of the company feeling positive and growing again so far as employee morale is concerned. With respect to customers, again, it's not surprising that when you go through one of those downturns, it takes time to rebuild customer confidence. The most important thing we can do is to continue to be profitable. So the customers don't worry about our profitability. They're able to evaluate our products and services on their own merits. And if we continue that, there's no question that customer satisfaction will improve. The other area, we've got to focus on being more predictable, particularly on our product deliveries to customers. Our predictability in that area needs a lot of improvement. We've got people working on it, but that's an area of focus for us. As we continue to return to profitability, the challenge for management is also to develop more sharing of compensation and benefits with employees, and we're dedicated to doing that. We first have to be profitable, and we need to be solidly profitable. We've begun to address the compensation issues. We haven't solved them all by any means. It'll be some time before we completely revise our benefits and compensation programs so that we're very competitive. But that is our objective, and it has to be done as we can afford it. But we're making great progress on it. I think I'll close here pretty quickly so that you can answer some questions. But I think it's worthwhile taking a minute, feel good about what we've accomplished. Accomplished an enormous amount working together in a very short time. The last 9 months have been spectacular, as we saw the analysts have noted. Got a lot more work to do. And as I said in the last DVN, this is not the time to be complacent. We can't say, gee, happy times are here again, let's start spending and all of that. We've got to be focused on the same things we were focused on before, that is continuing to control our costs and getting those costs down so that we can be profitable, not only in Q4, which would give us a profitable year for the first year since FY90. If we have reasonable profitability and make our goals in Q4, we'll have a profitable fiscal year. Very important in terms of our customer satisfaction and their perception of digital. We've got to get those costs in line because Q1 for digital is seasonally a very difficult quarter with a significant decline in revenues. Our cost structure's got to be in place so that we can be profitable in Q1. So we've got to do that. We have to focus, as I said, on customer and employee satisfaction. We've got to continue the focus on cash generation. We have more opportunity there, particularly in accounts receivable and inventories. A lot more we can do there to generate more cash for investment so that we can grow our businesses more rapidly. I mean, some of the businesses could grow more rapidly. This business, the PC business unit, could grow more rapidly if we had more free cash to invest. We don't, and so it's got to sort of grow at the rate that's affordable. And the issue would be that'd be true of several of our business units, actually. And so we need to get that cash so we can invest for profitable growth. So stay focused on cash, stay focused on customer satisfaction, continue to work hard together. There's no question we'll continue this turnaround and be successful. Now, I'd like to answer your questions that you may be of in the audience here locally, and if you don't ask any, I'll make up some and answer them, as I usually do. So somebody has to ask a question. I'm going to make one up. As I came in the door, somebody was telling me that there is a rumor going around that we intended to sell the PC business unit. This is an absurdity. I don't know where these rumors come from. I don't know if you heard that rumor. Maybe I'm starting a rumor. This is complete, total, and utter nonsense. You know, we have invested heavily in this business unit. It is the cornerstone, one of the key of two platforms, the major platform of our strategy. That's just nonsense. So when you hear that, please just put that in the shredder. Don't think about it. And in fact, most of the rumors you hear deserve the same treatment. Into the shredder. Ask your management. If there's something really going on, they will know about it. Other questions? Yes.
Bob, now that we were seeing measurable signs of the company's turnaround, what plans do you and your staff have in reestablishing digital as one of the best companies to be working for today?
All employees have a stake in that, all of us. And it's management's responsibility to create an environment where you enjoy coming to work and where you can see personal development as well as company's development. And that's what the kind of environment we want at this company. Now, we had that at one time. We had that at one time at Digital, where it was tremendous fun to come to work and everybody felt good. And we got a little complacent. The world changed and we didn't want to change and we didn't want to deal with the changes. And the longer we put that off, the more painful it was for all of those that had to deal with it later. We are dealing with it. We are going to continue to deal with it. And we're going to return to an environment not the same kind, but with the same attributes, the same value system that I always talk about, same things that make us what we are, who we are as a company, in terms of our values and our behaviors, but also that continue to share with the employees the benefits of your hard work. At this point in turning around the company, basically, it's keeping your jobs, having some modest improvement in personal compensation, and as we do better, better improvement in compensation, and again, with an emphasis on performance. An emphasis on paying for performance. You'll see in the management ranks in particular, much more variable compensation that depends on digital performance as well as business unit specific performance as a component of total compensation. Other areas that I'm particularly concerned about have to do with the long-term benefits, like the retirement programs that we have throughout the world, and other employee benefits that we are analyzing to see what is our competitive position, and what are some opportunities we would have as we gain more profit to share that with employees. And so the issue there is clearly on my mind, creating the right environment. But it's up to all of us. You can't wait as an employee. I mean, you have to act and behave in order to bring about change in the way that you think is appropriate, consistent with the value systems. And that's your management's responsibility. But this is a major effort in terms of the company. It's something we're focused on. Other questions? Yes.
Bob, the internet arena is very hot. Yet we don't seem to read a lot about digital in it in terms of joint ventures, programs, and so on. Can you give us some idea of where we are and where we're going?
For those of you that didn't hear the question, it had to do with the internet and observing the fact that the internet is a very hot topic, and there's a lot written about internet, and it doesn't seem like you see too much about digital in some of these articles. Digital is actually taking advantage of the internet to sell our own products. You probably know we have a web server that allows customers and potential customers to log on to. There's over 6,000 pages of information about our products and services on the available through that server. And I believe we have, on the average, about 150,000 such inquiries on a weekly basis that come in and take a look at what's going on, maybe even more frequent than that. So that's one use. And you also probably know that Digital was the first company to provide customers the opportunity to actually test their software on our alpha platforms over the internet through a server. So that's a very impressive. A lot of people have done that and looked at how their software would actually perform on our products. We developed a security system and a server that has a firewall for customers, and we sell that as a service and a product to customers. Been relatively successful, but I think we could do better. So we have an internet business unit group in the Advanced Technology Group that is looking for opportunities not only to be involved in internet, but to make money, which is a different issue. And I think that over time, hopefully you'll see Digital be more aggressive in that space. I'd like to be more aggressive. And we'll see what we can do about that. But we are taking advantage of it. Other questions?
We seem to have made a decision to split our business strategically across between the two architectures, Intel and Alpha, as opposed to the way people use our systems. And I'm really curious as to why we may have done that instead of looking at clients as a business unit and servers as a business unit, regardless of architecture.
Well, I think it's a good question. There are any number of ways that you could slice and dice the company, and that would certainly be one. The issue really had to do with that at the place that we were in our development, my desire to keep, in particular, the PCBU entirely separate from the rest of the company. If we'd had the other model, it would have said, I say entirely, it's not totally entirely, but it's very separate so that you could develop the business practices appropriate to the PC industry, which was quite different than to the mini computer industry. And my fear was that if we had gone to that particular partitioning, then you would have had the PC desktop client environment caught up with the more traditional mini computer type way of doing everything, which in general is much slower than the PC market will permit. Now, as we go forward, clearly what we're trying to do is take more and more of the attributes of the PC marketplace, which is the bulk of the computing marketplace today, and take those same techniques and urgency into our more traditional mini computer way of designing and developing. But they're also very different attributes. Like customers that are buying for enterprise level computing are looking for features that are not today available in PC-based platforms either on the server side. Over time they will be, and over time the operating systems that are popular on PCs and servers will have those attributes, but not right away. So it seemed like for the place we were in our history and the marketplace and where things were in their development, this was the best way to partition it. But there are many other ways we could look at it. My objective going forward, by the way, lest you be confused about any of these remarks, is for at least fiscal 96, I'm not planning any major changes. I think it's important that we try to have some stability in the business units, and we'll learn some stuff in the next year. We'll find some things that are not terribly working terribly well about the current organizational structure, and we'll see some opportunities to make it better. But we need some stability and some time before we start futzing around with organizational changes. Clearly, though, as we address our customers, and that's talking about the overall corporate proposition, when we go to the customers, we address our customers in terms of our total portfolio of services, software, and products. Other questions? Yes.
If a customer wants to order PCBU parts, they have to place an order to the PCBU and likewise to the SBU. Is this inconsistent with our wanting to present one face?
Well, not really. It's an issue of typically the customer in the example you mentioned is dealing with a partner. In the case of the majority now of our SBU and PC products move through partners, and that's a major accomplishment, by the way, that I didn't mention in my prepared remarks. If you think about in FY93, we only had one-third of our products that moved through indirect channels. And the quarter just ended 60% of the products. So 33% in 93, 45% last year, 60% in the quarter just ended, which was part of our CSD strategy and our corporate strategy. And they're executing that very well. So the issue is that the partner, or in the case of the ABU accounts, Digital's direct sales force, provides access to all of Digital's products and services. Most often, there's a lot of overlap in these partners in terms of the different business units. Not always, but most often. This is not terribly different, though, than the really large competitors in the business. Most of our competitors have, in order to get some autonomy and understand where they're earning money and where they need to invest, they also have a business unit structure. Not all of them, but most of them. And that requires some differentiation. So it's always a matter of balance. It's never a perfect world. And the issue for us, though, is as Digital to have a consistent way of behaving, a consistent way of dealing with our partners in terms of terms and conditions, and something that's consistent and appropriate to the particular business. That is, the terms and conditions for the PC business unit are slightly different than for the systems business, but only slightly. So the issue is to try and be easier to work with. Now, we have a lot of opportunity to improve that. And I think in FY96, we'll see, as a management team, working to make it easier for our partners to do business with us. Other questions?
You mentioned when you started that there's no plan to sell off the PC business unit, but are you still entertaining ideas on selling off other parts of Digital, or are we pretty stable where we stand?
I think that we'll continue to evaluate pieces of the company. That's a very good question, because you think about something I didn't talk about in my prepared remarks. Where did the money come from for all of this restructuring? You know, where did we get the money? Well, to a large extent, we generated the cash, because you know we didn't generate it from operations until the quarter just recent. We generated the cash by divesting ourselves of pieces of our business or of facilities that were really not strategic to the company going forward. So part of it had to do with understanding, well, what is our strategy going forward, at least at a high level? And then looking at all of the investments that we'd previously made, many in excess of what the market would support, and find a way to dispose of those in a profitable way. Really amazing. You know, since we started this restructuring, we've raised in cash approximately $1 billion. $1 billion. That we've used in the restructuring. And we'll continue to look at facilities, business segments perhaps, that are not strategic to the vision that we have of adding value to our customers going forward. That is not the case of the PC business unit and most of the other business units. But within the business units, there might be a segment that we think about, gee, we could sell that to a partner or someone else. They could focus on that. It'd be more productive for Digital's management to focus on other areas. In addition to raising cash, it's also a thing about management span of control. We want to spend our management attention units on those pieces of the business that have the most opportunity in the future. So I want to be looking to the future, and again, that's what the PCBU is all about, but most of the other business units. If you look in each of the business units, within those business units, they're looking at their portfolio and segments of business and saying which ones are the most strategic, which ones have the best opportunity for profitable growth, and how would we fuel that growth? Maybe there's pieces we could divest of to raise cash to invest in the growing ones. And that's one advantage of having the business unit structure. You get it down into hopefully manageable pieces. And so that will be done mostly by business unit. Of course, I have to approve anything that's of any significant size. At this moment, there's, as I think about it, I don't think of anything standing here that's a major divestment that's underway. We're continuing to work on getting a partner for investing in our semiconductor manufacturing facility, and that seems to be going pretty well. It's very complicated, but we seem to be going well, and I'm thinking that by the end of the calendar year, certainly, we should be able to announce a partnership to fully utilize our semiconductor manufacturing capability here in Massachusetts. But I think that's, I don't recall any other major ones. Other questions? There is a question in the back. Please use the microphone so that the audience that's not right around you can hear.
Okay, you discussed our PC and Alpha program. Could you touch on what the communication strategy is for the company?
I'm not sure that I understand the issue on communications. Are you talking about our yeah, there's many areas of communications. We can talk about Digital's internal network, or we could talk about software that enables mail, for example, at an enterprise-wide level. So I think you have to help me a little bit with the question.
One of the advantages is how these machines communicate with each other.
Yes.
And you also touched on the Ameritech deal, which I assume involves telephony.
Yes, it does. Yes, I'll talk about that briefly. The issue is we can see going forward that the information technology industry, as is broadly defined by computing and communications, is coming together. And we talk about this convergence. We talk about the opportunities that you can read about every day in the paper or magazines about this alliance or that alliance between a telecom company, a computer company, maybe an entertainment company, as people try to figure out what the role is. A digital is entering into a number of minor alliances, no major big deals at this point, mostly trying to make sure that we are positioned for whoever wins in these alliances to buy our platforms and services. And by services, I mean everything from how do you get content into a digitized format for transmission over an internet or cable or whatever, but digital format. And we've created some centers to enable that, like the Media Center in New York City, and there'll be others, help customers get the content in the right format, to the platforms that enable you to, at a very low cost, access video streams of data. And that takes advantage of all of our competencies, really, in terms of systems engineering, architecture, alpha architecture, very high performance, in other words, CPUs, RAID storage arrays, and a very open and disciplined, though, storage hierarchy that makes it cost-effective to implement this server technology, which is why, really, we've been winning most of those. And this is a key part of our future development. There's no question it's a huge market. We're continuing to look for opportunities there. I'm very optimistic about that particular future. I don't know if that's a complete answer. It really isn't, because a complete answer is a multiple hours answer, but that gives you some overview, perhaps. We're very well positioned there, and we are winning in the marketplace in competition with everybody as far as these video-on-demand servers. And it's not just movies on demand, but really much more expansive than that. You saw we won some ad insertion capabilities for immediate revenue, where cable television operators can use digital servers to insert ads in a fraction of the time for their local audience and at a fraction of the cost of previous technologies and methods. That results in an immediate revenue and profit for digital. So we're not only looking for the future out there somewhere with the ubiquitous communications environment or society, which is going to happen, and we're going to participate in. We're not only looking at that, but we're looking like right now, what problems can this technology solve for businesses today? Other questions? Yes.
I think in the current environment, absolutely agree. We want to do what we can to improve customer sat. I mean, we think that's our central issue, and we really believe it in a lot. With the distributed business unit, it's kind of a challenge getting the right information at the right time to MCS. What can we do to help improve that customer satisfaction? Because right now we know that's what we really need to aim for to make sure the customers will buy again.
I think that's a very good question. I think that it illustrates one of the glaring weaknesses of our company. Notwithstanding that we are a computer company, we did not invest in the information technology infrastructure to really support what's necessary in the environment that we're competing in. We are investing today, as most of you know, we are investing in not only our own infrastructure and deploying a client-server architecture by the business units, but also in the software packages provided by SAP, tailored for the individual business units as appropriate to their business, because not every business unit needs the full capabilities available in the SAP offering. On the other hand, other business units need capabilities that aren't available. For example, multi-vendor customer services. We haven't been able to find a package available, readily customizable, that really deals with the complexity of the multi-vendor customer services business. So this is a major focus for John Randall and his team. And the answer to your question, really the short form, is the only way we can do it is by working across the business units. So the leaders of the business units have to work together to identify the most important issues and work on those first. And it's not going to be quick. In implementing these kinds of technologies, it's very expensive and it takes time, and it is essential. So we're allocating a large investment in upgrading our systems on a worldwide basis to support the business unit structure. And the other thing is to provide flexibility, because as I mentioned before, we will undoubtedly find things we want to change as the marketplace changes or as we get smarter. And we need our information technology systems to support those changes easily, not the way they're organized today, which was built up over decades, really, and very geographically focused. So we could get information locally by geography, but we really couldn't get information cut the way we want to cut it, by customer on a global basis or by products and services. Couldn't get it. And we're just working to get that implemented. This will be a major improvement in terms of our customer satisfaction. On the other hand, in the short term, just being able to say to a customer that we're going to deliver on this date and then doing it would be a big improvement. Big improvement. And that shouldn't require tremendous improvements in terms of information systems. They'll help, but part of this just has to do with discipline and commitment to our customers. I see that I have used the available time here. There might be time for one more question if there's one out there. Yes, here's one.
As a business unit that purchases other digital products from other business units, we get into situations at times where the inner business price is not as competitive and we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Is there going to be any revamping of the inter-business price structure?
Yes, is the answer to that. And the issue that you're talking about is one that exists in all large companies. And what's interesting is that I've worked for several, and in all large companies, as they deal amongst themselves, they almost inevitably find that somehow they're not getting the best possible price on whatever it is.
And please flip this cassette over, rewind to the beginning of side B.